And good morning. Welcome to another edition of Health Essentials. Oh my goodness, I get to look out the window this morning. I'm telling you, the sky's gorgeous. It's like a peach-colored parfait with some blue splashed in there. Okay, maybe that didn't sound so good, but it's gorgeous. Anyway, only God can do something like that. I'm so glad you decided to tune in with me this morning and join me for another edition of Health Essentials. It is so good to be with you, and I thought to myself, well, what can I do this morning? How can I help you? Is there anything that I can do to help you today? If I can, please let me know. The number here at the station is 903-586-5257. There's a phone line open. I came across this information from Dr. Douglas Brody. He's a medical doctor. And just listen to what he has to say. It's just very, very brief. Dr. Douglas Brody has identified key personality traits that can increase one's chances of breast cancer. Number one, these include having a strong tendency toward carrying other people's burdens. Okay. Another one, taking on extra obligations. Number three, holding on to feelings of anger, resentment, and hostility, and being unable to cope with stress in general. I think I asked an individual the other day, I asked him, how do you do with stress? And they said to me, it used to be that when a certain situation would come up, it would just be like water rolling off a duck's back. But now it just totally sets me off. I feel like I collapse and I crumble. Well, that's not a good sign. So we've gone from being very tolerant to stress, not letting it affect you horribly, to now it just like wrecks you. I'm sorry, somebody was just trying to call and I was busy here. There's like a little, you don't know this, but there's like a little window that I've got to push the button at the right time. If not, I'll get the answering machine. So please call back 903-586-5257. I'll get you right in. This program is Health Essentials. The number is 903-586-5257. Here we go. Good morning and welcome to the program. Hello. Uh-oh. Dropped him. Let's try again. Missed it. Ha ha ha, my timing was off. The number's 903-586-5257. Of course, you know what I thought of. Well, hey, let's try again. Okay, did I get you now?
Well, it's not the same me, but you got me.
Okay, well, it's fine if it's a different you. You mean you have two personalities?
Well, I'm some sorry. People might say that.
Well, they're not here right now to give their comments, are they?
No.
Well, thanks for your call today. How can I help?
Well, I have two questions. One is about my teenage daughter's acne, and the other is about my father, who is in his 80s and has dementia. So I just thought maybe if I rattle them out, you could
Can we tackle the yeah. easier one of the two at the time?
Okay.
All right, you know the skin has all these incredible little glands that produce sweat, and there's another type of gland that produces sebum, which is kind of like a waxy, oily protectant that keeps your skin from drying out.
Mm-hmm.
You almost think like if you had leather shoes and they start looking dry and cracked, well, you want to put some polish or some type of a wax on them to kind of make them, you know, look like they're reconditioned and more waterproof and keep from drying out. Anyway, this sebum, this substance, to a large degree, it's produced deep in your daughter's gut. And so in a roundabout way, when you're trying to radically improve the skin, you've got to improve the gut. And so you've got to start throwing things in the gut that it likes. Maybe throwing is not the right term. But as a general rule, would you buy into the idea that maybe vegetables and vegetable matter are just really, really healthy for the body?
Yes.
Does she like to eat vegetables?
You know, she used to. They used to eat up all their vegetables. Now they're so picky, they don't want to eat anything good.
Would you believe me if I told you I was reading this week studies about the microbiome or the gut flora, all these unique little bacteria that live in the gut?
Mm-hmm.
And what I find interesting, they've shown that when somebody has a craving, and I'm just going to make up a storyline here. This has nothing to do with your daughter. I'm just mm-hmm. making something up, okay? So yeah. if somebody says, oh, my goodness, I am craving nacho cheese Doritos and a Mountain Dew or a Pepsi. I've got to have mm-hmm. that and chocolate chip cookies. Well, they found out now that some of these toxic inflammation disease-causing bacteria, they're actually like shot callers. So if you have an overgrowth of toxic germs, they're living in your gut. If they make up their mind that they want to eat, you know, nacho cheese Doritos, they're going to start releasing chemicals that cause your body to crave those things. And so what we got to do is we got to clear out some of the bad germs that are in our gut. And one of the ways is by starving them out. Mm-hmm. Have you ever heard of butter before? That's a dumb question on my part. Of course, you know what butter is. Well, butter mm-hmm. is one of the greatest sources of what's called butyric acid. And they've shown that there's a unique type of bacteria that lives in the gut. It's called bifidobacterium. And this mm-hmm. bifidobacterium, it actually makes butyric acid for you. And so the more butyric acid you have, the less you crave of the junk food or the things that are high in sugar. And they've done research and they've shown that people are more prone to having bouts of mental illness and schizophrenia and bipolar when they have very low levels of bifidobacterium and they have a high intake of sugar. And so I guess what I'm getting at is, if we could just change the microbes in the lining, you know, that live deep within our gut, mm-hmm. it would probably cause the acne to completely go away.
Yes.
And so one of the ways of doing that is just starving those little suckers out, or the toxic ones. Mm-hmm. And so mm-hmm. any time that you can reduce refined sugar and you can replace that with vegetables or things that are actually really good for you, then okay. it could be a home run. Now, I'm going to confess, I have just nearly a 0% success rate at convincing people to consume a substance called phospholipids. I've tried, and I have mm-hmm. failed. Because mm-hmm. once I tell a person how to do it, they go, gross, I'm never doing that. Well, every cell in your daughter's body and yours and mine and anybody else that's listening, it's made up of what are called phospholipids. And when you have a lack of phospholipids, that's when things start to go awry and you start having inflammation like acne and even Alzheimer's disease. But you get phospholipids from organ meats. And so I know this sounds gross what I'm fixing to tell you, but as an analogy or an example, you've been in the grocery mm-hmm. store before and you've walked down the aisle where they sell cans of sardines, right?
Mm-hmm.
Are you starting to get excited when I mention sardines?
No, not really.
Oh, okay. I thought maybe you were, but they come in can those rectangular tins, just like a sardine would come in.
Okay.
But it's called cod liver.
Oh yes.
And Morris is the one that turned me onto this, so I'm thankful to him. But when you start looking, they literally on these large fishing vessels in the Arctic Ocean, from probably Norway or Finland or Sweden, they're going through the ocean and they're fishing for cod. Well, you know, when they bring the cod onto the fish, you know, some of that goes as far as, you know, fish fillets or fish sticks or selling it at grocery mm-hmm. stores or restaurants. And then they take another part of it and you get fish oil, like cod liver oil. And you've heard of that before.
Yeah.
But another thing that's maybe not well known is they actually cut the liver out of the codfish and they cook it right there on the ship and they seal it in these little tins in their own oil, but that's one of the richest sources of phospholipids. Hmm. But if I had to choose one way to try to offset a lot of these diseases, it would be if I could just feed and nourish people with phospholipids. And you're only going to get those from organ meats or animal products, which I realize is not going to be real popular depending on, you know, what your belief system is. But I've just about failed at getting people to eat cod liver because they look at them and go, gross. When you open the can, it's mm-hmm. kind of a pinkish gray color. it's definitely one of those things you would only eat those if you knew that they were really, really good for you and you were desperate to improve your health. So,
okay.
But with your daughter, here's what I would do. I would give her a mineral called zinc, because I almost always find that zinc is very, very low. And let me just give you just like a classic example here. If I had to choose the two most common symptoms that a human being is going to exhibit when they're low in zinc, it's going to be they crave sugar or they crave salt. And I know you have been to a Mexican food restaurant before where you watched a person take a salt shaker, and they keep shaking and shaking over the chips, and they just can't stop. Well, that might be one clue that they're low in zinc. But you've got to have zinc to keep the skin in good working order. So that's one thing right there. The other thing that I like very much is there's a type of clay called Indian healing clay, and you can actually add a little bit of apple cider vinegar to it, and you can make like a mud pack out of it. But she could put that right over the area where she has the pimples or the acne, and see if it doesn't just draw all the toxic residue out of the skin.
Okay. Yeah, well, the doctor wants, you know, this other topical stuff that will burn skin and also, you know, has an antibiotic in it. That's
oh, my goodness. That is a brilliant plan. How come I didn't think of that? Could you just scratch everything I said before? I'm going to recommend that we slash, burn, and destroy the microbes on the skin.
Yeah.
The problem is we're not really getting to the root cause of the problem. And so obviously I think you're in agreement with me that if she were to start eating more vegetables and laying off the high sugar processed stuff, then her outward skin would start looking healthier. I mean, you know, you know how many people I've seen, and I could look at them 1 week, and the next week, their skin starts to have this beautiful color and this beautiful, gorgeous glow to it. And I can look at them, I say, oh, my goodness, you're doing this. And they're saying, yes, all the women at work are commenting about the glow of my skin. I'm going, way to go. But you can only do that by avoiding processed foods. And so if you can start to, you know, the mind is very, very powerful, isn't it? If you can, you know how it says in the book of Hosea that my people are destroyed from a lack of knowledge? Sometimes that's all I have to do with a person is just thoroughly explain, this is what your weakness is right here. You got to avoid this. And quite often with acne, I can find that it's going to be processed wheat or dairy products or sugar that really is the trigger that sets up this cycle of tremendous inflammation. And unless you get that inflammation under control, you cannot make the skin look drop-dead gorgeous and beautiful. But I would say zinc would be essential. You could easily give her what are called probiotics.
And these are
so one of them is called Lactobacillus acidophilus. Another one's called Bifidobacterium, and Bifido has been shown to greatly improve butyric acid, but it really helps the lining of your inner skin. So the key to your outer skin is to make sure your inner skin is healthy, and that's called the lining of your gut. And you start to get there when you put real foods that God has made. I tell you what you should do. You should steam some broccoli right now and melt some butter on it and go set it right beside her head while she's asleep, and that way she'll wake up dreaming of broccoli. Or not.
I don't think so.
The skin needs sulfur, so high sulfur vegetables are going to be cabbage and asparagus, broccoli, cauliflower, Brussels sprouts, radishes, kale, onions, garlic. From the meat department, any seafood or eggs are just hard to beat. But you get these rich phospholipids that heal the body when you consume organ meats, which is a tough sales pitch, but you can get those from cod liver if you wish. I'm forcing you at gunpoint to eat them.
Yes. Well, it's getting bad so that I was getting worried about having that, how you see an adult with the face that's kind of gotten scarred from acne. Mm-hmm. And I, you know, so anyway, she's had a lot of stress too this semester. So I feel like,
you know, and see, all these things, they manifest on the surface of the skin. So. Mm-hmm. Let me give you a couple more points. I know I'm going overboard here, but hey, I've got you and you're asking and you want to help your daughter, so I want to honor that. The skin is going to drink whatever you put on top of it. It just is.
Okay.
And so, I'm choosing not to make this more wordy than what I should. There's a type of plant that grows really easily in places like northern Mexico and Arizona, maybe even parts of New Mexico. But from this plant, they can kind of crush the seeds or the nuts, and they get what's called jojoba oil. Have you ever heard of that before?
I have.
And so that might be the safest thing to put on her skin before she goes to bed at night. That may be just a little bit of honey. It doesn't take very much. But we're not trying to destroy this tremendous microbiome that covers her skin, and we're not trying to destroy the acid mantle layer by burning her skin and putting drugs and antibiotics on it. Do you know, I think 2 years ago I read this article, and it said they could predict who's going to develop cancer later in life by the number of prescription antibiotics they've had in their lifetime. And so I'm not trying to be negative, but every time you take an antibiotic, you destroy a little bit of your immune system. You just do.
Mm-hmm.
You know as well as I do that when you hear about people going to the hospital perfectly fine, and they get an infection called Clostridium difficile or C. diff, and they have projectile diarrhea, 35 rounds of antibiotics later, and you know, in 2 years, and they're still sick, and they're never the same again, I hate that.
Mm-hmm.
We've got to find a way to restore the body to where it can heal on its own, and that's what you're after. But another thing that I like very much, it's just really hard to beat either lemon or lime juice when you apply it to the skin. And I'm sure if you went online and thought, what can my daughter use to scrub her skin clean with? She could use granulated sugar and lemon juice probably more effectively than that. What'd you say it is? Hydrochloric acid? Sulfuric acid from a... Are they prescribing sulfuric acid from a battery on the skin? That's a joke. I know they're not doing that.
I don't remember the name of it.
It could be everything from glycolic acid to, you know, all the other ones they use to... Anyway, so we've got to find a way to get her skin really healthy. And so does she like to drink water?
Yeah, not so much. She doesn't want to drink anything. I mean, we don't drink any pop at home. The only time we have this is we're out and about, and it comes with a meal that she might have. But,
Well, and that's one of the ways to get these tissues to heal is just give them enough water where they can wash themselves clean. I know I'm kind of making a joke about this, but you can't wash a load of dishes with one drop of water.
Yeah.
But if you had gallons, you could wash them easily, and you could have enough water to act as a solvent to wash them clean. So if we start changing the microbes inside of her gut, that's going to be one of the keys to changing her appetite and getting her stronger. And I realize this is like a deep conversation, but anyway, what I'm going to do is I'm going to tie this into your second question about your father.
Okay.
All right. There is a system within your body where you have specialized cells within the nerve tissue that produces what's called acetylcholine.
Mm-hmm.
And acetylcholine comes from two... So what I should tell you is to get the ball rolling. When you have a lack of acetylcholine, you have Alzheimer's. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
And so on one level, one powerful component of Alzheimer's disease, it's an acetylcholine deficiency. And I don't know if you've ever heard of acetylcholine, but the part of it is called choline. You ever heard of choline?
Well, I think I have, but I don't know anything about it.
Well, let me call choline a B vitamin-like compound, and one of the richest sources of all time. It comes from an egg yolk. So when your neighbor brings over some eggs from their chickens that are running around and eating June bugs and earthworms and seeds and everything else, those yolks are like brilliant orange like the morning sun this morning, right?
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's going to be a rich source of choline. And I'm kind of saying that because, you know, as well as I do, we've heard for the last 30 years that eggs are evil and eggs are bad because they contain cholesterol. Couldn't be further from the truth. So half of the equation of acetylcholine is getting choline. And you get choline when you eat eggs. There's just no way around it. So you must have acetylcholine to keep inflammation out of the brain. And so Alzheimer's disease, one interpretation would be there's excessive inflammation going on in the brain, and that's keeping the brain from healing itself. And so the body's main system of ridding itself of inflammation is its production of acetylcholine. So I say we help it. Number two. I know this is going to be too much, but a long, long, long time ago, I took biochemistry classes, and we studied what's called the Krebs cycle, or sometimes it's called the citric acid cycle. And this explains how does your body produce energy from oxygen and food. You put the two together, and bam, you have energy. But one of the ways that your body produces energy is it makes what's called acetyl-CoA. And so you've got the acetyl group with choline, and you've got acetylcholine. So, bam, there you have it right there. And so the two things that have to take place to make this work is your father has to have incredible amounts of energy. Does that make sense?
Uh-huh.
Is he a real energetic person?
No. He's further along in the process of dementia, and he has almost no strength, and they were giving him some medicine that was he couldn't even get up out of bed, but now he'll get up, but he doesn't have very much strength, and and my mother's caring for him, and she has a lot of struggles, so.
Oh, bless their heart. I'm so sorry about that. But you can see the where our back is against the wall on this deal because he doesn't have energy.
Right.
And so all I want you to do is just hold it in your mind and your heart that in order to get the body to heal, you've got to have energy. And without energy, you can't fix anything.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, there could be some amyloid plaque in the brain. There could be tau proteins building up. The myelin sheath could be broken down. But without energy, your body says, my goodness, I'd love to fix this, but I can't do it.
Mm-hmm.
And so energy is one of the great keys to trying to resolve this. And one of the equations would be giving him oxygen. If I had my way, we'd be giving him oxygen to breathe all day long.
Yeah, she mentioned that to them, and they're like, he doesn't need oxygen. His oxygen level's high enough. And I don't think it's, I can't remember what it was at, maybe 96.
What they do is they use a little device called a pulse oximeter. You can get them for like $17.95 off eBay. But they only test the amount. They use this little LED diode or laser, whatever it is, and they can measure the amount of the oxygen that's in your peripheral artery by measuring the attachment of hemoglobin to oxygen. But that doesn't tell you how much oxygen is getting to his brain cells. It just doesn't.
Yeah.
I wish it did. But in his situation, we just have to assume that, okay, let's put it together. Is his energy levels a perfect 10? Can he do anything that he wants? No. He's probably like a 1 or a 2 where he's just going, I just don't feel like getting up and doing anything.
Right.
If I lined up all the patients that I'm currently taking care of that are between 80 and 95 or 96 years of age, and they're still radiant, and they're there just to improve themselves, well, what do they have in common? They're constantly moving. They've got energy. I mean, this is not what I call rocket science, and so how do we get there? So, I mean, you can take everything I'm saying with a grain of salt, because I'm not trying to come across as a know-it-all, but I just think any time that the brain is not where it should be, we've got to give it a little bit more oxygen. So that's completely up to them. But that device they're using, that does not tell the true story of what's really going on. And so
mm-hmm.
what would happen if I took some spray foam insulation and I sprayed it into your air intake on your car? Well, your car wouldn't run. Mm. Or if I took a potato and shoved it in the tailpipe where it couldn't, like, suck oxygen and get rid of the waste, it would shut the engine down, because even the engine mm-hmm. of your car or vehicle, it's got to have oxygen. Mm-hmm. And so just because it shows he's 96 at the tip of his finger, that literally means nothing to me. If that were like the whole inch shebang, I'd say, great, no need to use oxygen.
Mm-hmm.
But oxygen is a very healing element. And so that's why some people, you know, I would never recommend this, but that's why some people take food-grade hydrogen peroxide every day. Because in order to produce energy, you've got to have a little bit of hydrogen peroxide, and you've got to have an enzyme called catalase in your cells to, bam, make energy. But it takes oxygen mm-hmm. to do that. And so when the body's in great working order, like your teenage daughter,
mm-hmm.
she can make all the energy she wants. And she goes, Mom, mm-hmm. I'm so bored. I've already read 3 books today. I've raked all the leaves in the yard. I've tilled the garden and pulled weeds. What else can I do? I'm bored. Go jump on the trampoline, dear. But anyway, your dad doesn't have a lot of energy. And so you don't turn these around unless you can find a way to generate energy where a person can get up and get moving.
Mm-hmm.
There's literally something about a person that moves and moves fast, where they stay healthy a long time. And so that's where some people will take and they'll start using food-grade hydrogen peroxide to see if it causes a significant boost in how they feel.
Okay.
You know, even if a person doesn't have Alzheimer's, if they don't have energy, they could literally sit behind, you know, their computer desk all day long and just, like, scan the computer because they don't have enough energy to do anything else.
Mm-hmm.
They could look out in their front yard and they go, oh, my goodness, I've been wanting to clean up those twigs and limbs for, like, 2 months now, but I just am not feeling it.
Yeah.
Or I know I need to clean out my closet, or I know I need to repair, you know, where that limb fell on the roof, you know, where it's leaking. Mm-hmm. But they don't have energy.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, if I had my way with your father, there would be a hyperbaric oxygen chamber. And I would say, here, Mr. Smith, I need you to come sit in this room. And I would shut the door behind him and seal it up and mm-hmm. crank up the oxygen really, really quick.
Mm-hmm.
And so to make a long story short, there are a class of drugs that are called statin drugs.
Mm-hmm.
And these...
I don't think he's...
Thank the good Lord, because usually they have a long history of causing dementia and memory loss, and I think that they definitely lead toward Alzheimer's because they break down the production of the cholesterol in the brain.
Mm-hmm. Well, he had barely ever seen the doctor. I think my mother said it was over 47 years since he'd been to the doctor, up until about maybe 5 or 6 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, he'd always been healthy, always energetic. He would read everything about computers. He's, you know, he's kind of a nerd. He's musical. He's, anyway, he was always outside. And
I like
stuff.
Him already.
So, yeah. So, he would get up and he would jump up and throw his arms up in the air and says, I gotta get moving, you know.
Oh, I love him. It sounds great.
Yeah.
Well, what do you think? What do you think the factor was that led to the development of this issue?
Well, he was always a big sugar eater, and maybe that was it. He loves chocolate, you know. He loves chocolate ice cream. And
well, I'm not against chocolate if it's the unprocessed stuff.
Well, I'm sure it was processed.
Well, and see, that's one of the biggest factors is when somebody has Alzheimer's disease. Some researchers now are calling this type 3 diabetes, or diabetes of the brain, because the brain just can't handle all that sugar. And, you know, the bottom line is, when we consume a boatload of sugar, it tremendously lends itself toward the development of Alzheimer's, because it creates brain inflammation. And it may be as simple as that he had way too much sugar for too long. See, there's a huge difference between having a little bit of sugar every so often. Would you agree?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Like if you said, okay, this is Saturday evening. I'm going to have two chocolate chip cookies, but all you've had is just real food the rest of the week. It's probably not going to have any devastation. But, I mean, the brain, that is one of the highest energy use end organs that I know of. And so when you flood it with carbohydrates over and over and over again, you definitely generate a lot of inflammation of the brain. So since he hadn't been to the doctor, I can't blame this on flu vaccines, can I?
No, but in the last several years, he's had one every year. And I read recently that if you had one, like, 4 out of the last 5 years.
That's it.
I mean, maybe I even heard it from you. I can't remember.
Well, no, you did hear it from me, because that's the research from Dr. Hugh Fundenberg. He says if you have 3 consecutive flu vaccines, then you have a 700 to 800% increase in the development of dementia or Alzheimer's.
Yeah.
And so, well,
I'm pretty sure he's had them for the last 4, 5, 6 years, because the doctors, you know, convinced my parents to get them, and every year I tell them not to, but they do anyway.
Well, let me ask you a question, and I'm not trying to stir the pot too much here, maybe a little bit. Do you think that he was relatively in good shape before he ever started getting the flu vaccines? I'm just asking your opinion.
Well, he was 100% better, I'll tell you that.
Okay.
Than what he was.
Well, I'll take it.
Because, yeah, he's just gone downhill in the past 2 years, really.
I'm so sorry for
severely.
Well, and you know, one of the things that I'm after here is if I could cut out all the sugar, and I could start giving high sulfur foods, and see, this would be one application for trying to shovel a few spoonfuls of virgin coconut oil into your dad. So if he was if he was the type of person that liked to drink coffee, I'd probably...
Yes, he was.
Well, I would probably give him... If I had to give him a sweetener, I think I'd choose monk fruit as a trial.
Okay.
You could actually take, the unprocessed cacao or chocolate powder, whatever you want to call the stuff, and you could add coconut oil and butter. But we're trying to get his body to reverse this trend of relying on sugar. So sugar, when you have too much of it, it burns so dirty that all this dirty waste debris builds up in the brain. It's got no place to go. I think I told everybody like 2 weeks ago, because I saw my notes that I just threw in the trash from 2 weeks ago, that when you sleep on your back, you have absolutely the highest occurrence of developing Alzheimer's. But when you sleep on your side, that creates a window where your brain can clean itself from all the work it did during the day. So we got to get your dad sleeping on the side.
Yeah, because now he sleeps on his back, but I do think he used to sleep on his side.
Well, we got to get him off his back.
Okay.
I'm going to recommend that we take just pour some ants on him. He'll move. No, I'm joking. That's a joke. But all these things, and I'm really rooting for you, but I would have no problem giving him oxygen, and I would just make it mandatory to cut out sugar even if they're kicking and screaming.
Yeah,
I don't think that anybody's gonna in the profession that does this is really gonna own up to the idea of injecting a man that's 80 years old with a bunch of mercury and aluminum and calling it good. I just hate that. But you know what? If we actually believed as a nation or a world that God has designed the body to repair itself if given a chance, we might look at things differently. But in this day and age we're living in, they just think, oh my goodness, everybody's got to have a flu shot. What do you mean you haven't had your flu shot? I walk by that table at a large store here in Jacksonville, and you've got all those nurses lined up, and they're talking to the most feeble people. I could watch an old gentleman that's just shuffle stepping over like he's moving 2 inches each step because he's so weak and feeble. They're saying, oh, sir, have you had your flu shot? You just need to get one right now. And I'm thinking, buddy, I'm gonna kidnap you and start giving you some real food. It's just horrible what we've delved into. Anyway, but I sure am rooting for you, but we got to find a way to get energy into your dad. And so if that involves putting him on oxygen, you can get an oxygen generator anytime you want, and he can start breathing it.
Mm-hmm.
But I know I'm only just scratching the surface, but I hope I helped you a little bit.
Well, thank you. Yes.
You're welcome.
Okay.
Well thanks for your phone call. Yes, ma'am. Thank have a great
you.
Weekend. Bye-bye.
You too. Bye-bye.
All right. If you'd like to join me on the radio, phone line is once again open at 903-586-5257. If nobody calls, I will read this article to you about sugar. Anyway, somebody just called, so I guess we're going to put that on hold. Good morning. Welcome to the program.
Hey, Dr. Morgan. I won't take much of your time. The reason I was calling, I got cut off last week. We were talking about foam in the urine.
Yes.
And you were going to suggest something.
Yeah, here's what you want to do. You want to start squeezing the juice of limes or lemons in water and drinking that throughout the day because we've got to scrub those kidneys clean. Your urine is essentially, it's supposed to be water and uric acid, maybe a little bit of protein in there. But
okay.
when your kidneys become a little bit, and I'm not saying this to scare you, I'm not doing that, but when your urine is bubbly and foamy, you got to go, oh, this is different. What's going on with my body? But the kidneys don't give off a whole lot of information when they're getting sick. So
okay.
let's try to help them. So if you could avoid anything called ibuprofen or Tylenol, I would say that would be a smart call because that stuff can totally wreck a person's kidneys pretty quick. Sugar is probably the hardest thing on the kidneys in the form of like, you know, Pepsi or Mountain Dew or soft drinks.
Okay.
And so if you can just say, all right, what is my play here? I'll start drinking water, and I'll start putting lime and lemon juice because that's going to act as a solvent to help scrub your kidneys clean. Plus, you get the great benefit. If you want to wreck the kidneys, eating high acid foods is one of the way of doing that. So when you read the last ingredient on a Coca-Cola, it's going to say phosphoric acid.
Okay.
And that's hard on the kidneys. And so you're probably going to say to me, well, what do I do if I want my kidneys to do well? I'd say, number one, remember the studies from the nursing home evaluations from years ago that I discussed with y'all. When someone's laying on their back all day long, they estimate they might get about 200 gallons through their kidneys every day in a 24-hour period. This is opposed to a teenage boy that's running around the woods all day long. That's like over 2,000 gallons a day. When the kidneys are producing foamy urine, you need more blood flow through them. That means move. So exercising is very, very good for the kidneys. Make sure water or herbal tea is the only thing you drink besides lemon or lime juice. But the kidneys love vegetables. They do really well. If your urine's foamy, I'd probably just have one serving of meat a day.
Okay.
You probably have 2 pounds of shrimp you were going to eat for lunch today, right?
Yeah.
So if you started eating, you know, one of the main elements that seems to really help the kidneys, actually I'm going to choose two, is going to be the mineral potassium and the mineral magnesium. And you're going to get that stuff if you had one big green leafy salad a day. That would be definitely a move in the right direction.
Very good.
Now, do you have a wife?
No.
Well, I was going to recommend a full body massage over the kidneys.
Oh, okay.
I don't know if you remember, but that study that came from 2013 where they took people that had kidney problems, and all they had them do was just walk barefooted. That means there's no shoe on their foot and there's no sock. And what they would do is they would walk on the bare grass or the dirt. Obviously, I don't want you to walk in a pile of grass burrs or saber-toothed tigers to eat you or, you know, rattlesnakes. But if you walk barefoot, there's something about walking barefooted that really stimulates the kidneys toward better function. So if that's something that you can do, I would do that.
Okay. All right. Well, that's what I wanted to find out. But the only question I have is, okay, you said lemon and lime. So it's like the lemon and lime together or just alternate those?
Any way that sounds good to you. If you tell me right now,
I hate limes, Dr. Morgan. I say, good, we'll go with lemons. You just do it any way that you want. It's going to be, I mean, they're so similar. But when I say they act as a solvent, I mean they are going to scrub your kidneys clean.
Okay. Okay. Well, I really appreciate your advice.
Oh, you're welcome. Now, do you like lemons and limes?
I do. I do.
Do you like water?
Yes, sir.
For a second there, I thought you were going to hesitate on me. That's good.
No, I'm trying to drink more distilled water.
I wouldn't.
Oh, really?
Well, I mean, I would be more of a fan of adding minerals to the water, and that's one of the reasons why when you squeeze lemon juice, I don't care if you, I know this is going to be too deep here, but there's a type of water that's called EZ water. Have you ever heard of that before?
I think I've seen it even.
Well, it's the EZ is short for what's called exclusion zone water, and I think Gerald Pollack has written a book called The Fourth Phase of Water, but he talks about this exclusion zone water. But to make a long story short, when you take celery or a carrot or an apple or a lemon or kale and you run it through a juicer and you drink that vegetable juice, well, that's EZ water right there. They've shown that when water comes from a melting glacier, that's easy zone water also, and that's what your cells really need to be strong and healthy and vital. And so I'm trying to think of the study that I read where just a pinch of Celtic salt in your water, which I realize if you had distilled water, fine, I just put a pinch of Celtic salt in it.
Okay.
But see, you get this easy or this exclusion zone water that heals your cells and washes you clean. It causes the cells to have the proper gelatinous gel inside of them. I'm totally butchering this topic. I don't know if you can tell, but if you want your cells to be healthy, you've got to have some exclusion zone water. So when you consume vegetable juice or you consume water that comes from a melted glacier, and if I'm not mistaken, there's some springs that really have a high amount of exclusion zone water in them. And I'm thinking one of them is that one in Hot Springs, Arkansas. Is it called Mountain Valley Spring Water? Does that ring a bell? Kind of a green glass bottle. Have you ever seen that before? I bet you
have. I have not, but I wasn't looking for it. But
well, that's well, now that you hear that. But I would definitely put a pinch of salt, because what happens is, when water has minerals, the stuff is alive.
Very good.
Have you ever heard before that when a drop of rain falls from the sky and hits the earth, that it's on literally a 50-mile journey before it comes back up at the surface? And that just totally baffles me. I'm just in awe of that. God's creation is so tremendous, but once the drop hits the surface, it has to go down 2,000 feet before it works its way back up. But that's God's design. That's just awesome. Well, these things work on these. Really limit your sugar. Take magnesium. Let's see if we can get your kidneys in better working order.
Well, I sure do appreciate you. And I'm going
You're
to
welcome.
Start that
I appreciate you.
Today.
I hope you have a really, really good weekend, man.
I already have. Thanks to you. Thanks for being part of my day.
Well, aren't you so nice. Thanks for calling in today. I'm glad you got in.
All right. I am too. Thank
All right.
you.
Thanks, buddy. Bye-bye. Okay, if you want to join me on the radio, there's time left. John Paul told me that I have to end the program just a little bit earlier than normal. It has to do with, like, recording and stuff. All righty, you made it in. Good morning. How are you?
A real quick question. You're talking about food-grade hydrogen peroxide?
Mm-hmm.
Is that different from what I'm getting off the shelf in the store, regular hydrogen?
Most likely. And from my studies and research, when they do an analysis of just regular hydrogen peroxide, which I'm not trying to paint as bad, that's not what I mean, but it may have some contamination with things like lead and arsenic and other toxic metals. And so
if you would just say, okay, well, what's my best option if I want to take hydrogen peroxide? If you go to food grade, it's been shown to be more free of those contaminants.
Okay. All righty. The other, there was another question, but at my age, I've already forgotten it.
But you're only 35. How could you lose your memory this early?
I wish. My cell phone, my friend took my picture on the cell phone the other day, and it identified me as a 70-year-old lady. I said, wow, that's great. I love it.
Oh, so they have this special picture app that tells you what your age is, right?
Well, on this special app for us blind people, yeah.
Does that mean you're 70 in 1 month?
I wish.
Well, I'm really glad to talk to you, but yeah, it's called Food Grade Hydrogen Peroxide, and it may be one of those items that you have to order off Amazon or eBay or some website that has it.
Okay. And the apple juice that I get off at the store, since I don't eat apples anymore because it tastes nasty, and I'm getting this dirty apple juice, I call it. Is that, yes.
That's totally what you want. You want that dirty, dirty apple juice. Yes, ma'am. Yeah.
Dirty apple juice and dirty honey.
That's right, exactly. We're just going to throw that liquid golden honey away that's like candy. Let's get the dirty stuff where you can't even see through it.
Yep.
You know what? I know a man that specializes in growing dirty honey. His name is Jimmy. That's his brand name. He's over in Palestine. It's called Dirty Honey. I just made that up. You know what? I was out at their place one time, and I and the sun was shining, and I could see all their beehives. And I said, oh, my goodness, those bees are going bonkers. But Nancy was telling me that they go ape over collard greens, I think. I thought to myself, out of all the things, in my mind, I'd go, oh, my goodness, look at these beautiful flowers here. Look at these blossoms on a cherry tree. That the bees are going to love that. But they love the mustard greens when they turn to flower.
Okay. All right, great. I'll buy the honey. They can eat the greens, and then I'll eat the honey. I can't stand collards.
You know what? I'm going to wash your mouth out with soap when I get a hold of you.
and Brussels sprouts, I forced myself to eat 5.
Oh, what a good girl you are. And see, that's rich in sulfur. If you want to live a long time, you got to have sulfur. So keep up the good work. I'm proud of you.
And I eat a lot of sauerkraut, so hopefully that helps.
It does. Good choice. Way to go.
All right. Well, thank you very much. I was wondering about that food grade if I needed.
Yeah, that's the one you need. So I think we got that solved.
Okay, thank you very much.
Yes, ma'am.
I appreciate you.
Oh, you're welcome.
And I'm going to make it to 103 listening to you.
Well, how much longer do you have to go? No, that was inappropriate of me to ask that question. Never mind.
Well,
but I hope you make it to 103.
I'm proud of my age, I'll tell you.
Good girl.
I'm healthy, nearly 80 years old. So.
Well, you're going to keep moving, aren't you?
That's right.
Good girl.
No more flu shots for me or anything like that.
Well, hang in there.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Bye-bye. Okay, there's time for another phone call. The number here at the station is 903-586-5257. Obviously, you've got to use the wits that God has given you when it comes to the flu, right? Don't hug and kiss somebody if they've got the flu. Does that make sense? If you insist on touching their nose when they've sneezed, don't put your finger in your nose if you don't want to get the flu, right? Good morning. Welcome to the program.
Hey, I was calling for my dad.
Oh, yeah.
A couple of years ago, under his left eye, it just started bleeding through the skin. It wasn't like he hit it or got a cut. And then it slowly turned into a sore, and it's been a sore under his eye for like 4 or 5 years.
Well, it's probably either a basal cell carcinoma or a squamous cell, but I would guess basal cell.
Okay, so what would be some good advice for me to give him?
Well, what I would have you do is I would have you look up, maybe on YouTube or on the internet, there's a product called Curaderm. And I'm thinking it's spelled C-U-R-A-D-E-R-M, Curaderm. It's made from alkaloids that come from an eggplant.
Okay.
Which is your favorite vegetable, coincidentally, right?
Broccoli's mine, but he might like eggplant.
If I go the rest of my life with only having to eat eggplant once a year, I'm fine. So,
right.
But if you look up that product called Curaderm, it has been shown to have literally a 100% cure rate or success rate at treating a squamous cell or a basal cell carcinoma. So when you have a skin lesion that oozes and it won't go away, most likely it's a cancer. I'm not saying this to be negative. But he could always go to a dermatologist and have it named. That would be a good call.
Well, Dad, he eats healthy. He doesn't go to doctors. He treats himself with cabbage and stuff. He's not really into the modern medicine scene. He's more into changing your diet and trying to eat healthy.
I totally respect that. And you have been very eloquent the way that you've explained your father. Your father is a very, very good man, isn't he?
He is.
So that one product called Curaderm, I'd have you look into that. And it's not the cheapest product of all time. But can I tell you a quick story?
Sure.
I had a lady come to see me that had this huge lesion on the side. I'm sorry. Maybe it was the husband. Isn't that horrible? I can't remember. But, I mean, I was in Walmart one day, and she walks up to me, and she just throws her arms around me. She said, "Look at this. It's healed." But she had used that product called Curaderm. But
okay.
I think it's like about $105 for a tube of it, but it does work at dissolving the cancer.
Okay, yeah.
All right.
Price don't matter.
No, it's only... Well, it's... You know what? You could spend several thousand dollars having a surgical procedure, and it could have a big, horrible scar. But I would say,
right.
since you and your father are into helping the body heal itself, that's what you're all about, and that's what I promote. So look into that product called Curaderm. But let me know how it works out, please. I'm very interested.
Okay, I will. Thank you.
You're welcome. You have a very good day, and I appreciate your phone call, buddy.
You too. Bye.
Thanks. Bye. Okay, there's a few minutes left in the program. If you'd like to call, the number is 903-586-5257. I think the book title is called The Eggplant Cure. You can look it up for yourself and see what you think. It's got a ton of pictures before and after. Good morning. Welcome to the program.
Good morning. Just wanted to let you know there's a source of...
Hydrogen peroxide
in Whitney, Texas, called OxyTech. Their number is 800-833-3256.
Would you repeat that number one more time before I can write it down?
800-833-3256.
Okay. Do you know what the concentration of the hydrogen peroxide is?
The only thing I've bought from them is 35%.
Has it been diluted to 12, though?
I don't know. I haven't asked them. I just always have used 35%, so that's the only thing I've bought from them.
Okay.
And but they're in Whitney, Texas, and the girl, it's a small company, but they
I promise you, there's nothing wrong with a small company. Sometimes they do everything just really. I like small batches.
Yeah, the girl is in there from about 10 till 3. So I'm assuming she's probably the wife of the guy who started the company, and they have one other employee, probably a friend or family member, and that's the company.
You may find this strange to believe, but I remember your voice from several months ago when you called me and told me about your use of hydrogen peroxide and how it energized you and helped you not hurt, and you put it in your animal's water bowl.
Yeah.
Is that
right? There's so many benefits to it. I could talk for an hour or two just telling people all the benefits.
Well, we've only got about 2 minutes left in the program. What I want you to see, I'm so thankful for your phone call, but what would you say is the top three benefits that you've experienced by taking hydrogen peroxide?
Well, the for me it was the for my hip, taking the pain out of my hip. But you cannot get an infection, and just you do have energy, the fact that you cannot get an infection, it makes you young. Within 2 weeks, I noticed I'm 70 and my skin felt really young, and same benefits for my animals. They have the most beautiful teeth. You never have to worry about brushing your teeth. It keeps your teeth perfectly clean. You cannot get in any kind of infections, and they have the most beautiful skin and hair. And
I think you've sold 99% of the listeners.
yeah. It makes you young.
Well, you don't know how much I appreciate you, but I'm thankful that you have a caring heart and you want to bless other people. But I really appreciate your phone call. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Have a good day, buddy.
You too. Bye-bye.
Okay, I think I have technically just a few moments left. This program is called Health Essentials. I'm Dr. Morgan. It's been a pleasure being with you, and Lord willing, I will be back next Saturday morning at 7 o'clock, ready to go.